And he's stumbling, slurring his words. He's like, ah, Americans, da 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 da. He's like running towards me, bro. I feel him like on some Get Out shit. He's like running, bro. And I feel him and he swings on me. Damn. And I duck and I get up and I push him away. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, fuck you, America. Oh. I'm like, well, first of all, like, I'm Mexican American. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you know that I'm American. Like, all right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. Today, I got some very exciting guests. You guys, you realize I haven't seen you guys since you guys had a gun held up to my head and on my block, right? The last time I saw you guys, I was getting robbed and one of you guys pistol whipped my woman. I don't remember which one it was.
It's been a minute.
It was you. Anyway, I'm here with the amazing actor Ezequiel, Gilberto, and Herbert. You guys, how are you guys doing today?
Good, brother. Blessed. Good, how are you? Good.
Blessed, thank you for bro, having for real. Us.
Of thank course. I know I know Corona is kind of a mission, so thank you guys for coming out. LA, you know, it's like a, what, 1 hour, 2 hour drive?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm expecting the check in the mail, huh?
Heck yeah. Well, yeah, no, going based off that, I want to start off with your guys' stories. Like, where did you guys grow up? Were you guys born in LA? Were you guys, I know you have a very interesting story. You were born in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
In City of Mexico, correct?
No, in Guerrero, in Ayutla de los Libres.
How was that, bro?
I mean, I don't remember, bro. I was brought here when I was one, but yeah, they just came over here and they needed a better life, so I was born and then I was brought over here. My dad came first, so I didn't see my dad for a minute, but I don't remember. But
so the United States is like all you know?
For sure. Yeah, that's it. So it was like they told me I was an immigrant, but I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't know that I was born in Mexico either. Like, I've never seen it, so.
And that program is called the DACA, right?
DACA.
DACA, okay.
Yeah, and that's allowed me to like act, get work, get a social security, like protection from, you know, getting deported and whatnot or anything crazy. Like, I was raised in Watts all my life, so just came up there, grew up in the hood and, you know, next to the projects, next to the Watts Towers. It's been like a crazy environment, but real blessed to like come from there and like learning a lot from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Gilberto, what about yourself? Were you born in LA?
I was born in Ventura County, so like Newbury, and raised in Newbury Park, like the Thousand Oaks area. Nice. But yeah, I was just born out there, and once I got older and stuff like that, and I decided to pursue an acting career, like once I was 18, I decided to try to get an agent and stuff. But yeah, no, but now I live in LA, and that's pretty chill. I really...
What about you, Herbert? You're not in LA.
No, I was actually born in LA. I was born I was born in East LA at the White Memorial Hospital out there, East LA. And then I was raised until I was 10 in Norwalk. Mm. Yeah. So close to like, you know, 30 minutes away from LA. And then after that, when I was 10, my family and I moved to Victorville, to the high desert. Yeah, bro. So
yeah, so you're like me, dude. Every time I tell people that I live out in Corona,
they don't even
like,
know where that's at.
They're like, where the hell? You've got Corona? I'm like, no tengo coronavirus.
Yeah, bro.
I'm from Corona.
Yeah.
I know. But I always see on your Instagram story, you're always outdoors. You're always like in the mountains working out.
Yeah,
how has that been being away from Los Angeles, but still having to work in that sort of, I guess you can call it that field, right?
Yeah,
the entertainment industry and all that.
Being I love it, bro. It's a blessing because at the same time, you know, you're not just stuck in like the whole acting world, the whole like LA world, you know. I get to get out and, you know, my family and I, we have property out there. So I go out there at the ranch, bro, just go hiking. I love just to be outdoors, not just out there, but like at the beach or like, you know, anywhere outdoors where I can be. That's like my comfort zone. That's like my safe space. So I like that.
And it's nice because you get to like, you get to go to LA and that's sort of like your playground.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of like where we go to play make-believe, right, for our jobs. And then you get to escape that. So there's always that distance.
And that's what I love about California, bro. You can be an hour and a half away from LA, but you're still in the mix wherever you are. You know, if you want to go to the mountains, you can go, desert, beach, wherever, but you're still in the mix of everything. Mm. Yeah.
So how did you guys get involved into acting? I mean, we'll start with Z over here. How did you dive into, you know, thinking to yourself, I want to become an actor. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to pursue.
I mean, I never wanted to be an actor. It kind of just like happened for me. You know, when you're a kid and you get thrown into the pool to learn how to swim, it's just kind of like that. But I was, my little brother went to school with the kid, shout out Nathan, who got on a Disney Channel show, and he got into a program called Actors Giving Back.
we signed up my little brother because my dad's like, just try it out. Maybe you can make some money off this. And then the day we dropped him off, there was like an open spot and the school director asked me if I wanted to take the spot. And I was like, looking at my mom, I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I never wanted to be an actor. It was kind of like cringe a little bit. And then they offered me the spot. So I took it and then I got some agents and then I just started like studying and like learning about the craft and whatnot and, you know, going to traditional acting schools and learning, and then it became my passion.
I was going to say, I know when we were speaking on the set of OMB, and we'll get to that. I think I remember you saying that you were taking classes with Shia LaBeouf, right? Shia LaBeouf has an acting school in was it East Los Angeles?
No, in South LA.
South LA,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But
so how was that? I mean, you've trained with some pretty, like, you know, remarkable people and you know, some people who definitely have made an impact in cinema. How's that been on you?
I mean, it's been cool because, like, in the beginning, I was, like, trying to find out the actor that I was. Like, some actors are, like, you know, Disney Channel actors, comedic, da-da-da. And, like, I just needed to find my, like, rhythm with what I do. And being at Sloss and Rec, like, taught me a lot. And, like, Shia taught me a lot. You know, people like Bobby Soto from Tax Collector taught me a lot. They, like, taught me a different way with, like, acting and the artistry behind it. And I've been real blessed to, like, learn from them. You know, shout out to Ed Harris, too, that took me under his wing. Like, this is a craft, you know, it's an art piece. It's just, you're carving your marble over time. And acting has just changed my life, saved my life, and I absolutely love it now, you know? It's like a true blessing.
That's awesome, man. I love hearing that. How about you, Gilberto?
Well, I always enjoyed the idea of acting since I was, like, about 9 or 10. And I did, I got, like, an acting, like, I went into an acting school when I was, like, in middle school. And I just kind of did that. Then I just didn't do anything about it. I just went to high school. And then once I graduated from high school, I called CAA. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, like, what do I have to do to, like, be a client or whatever? And the girl on the phone was really sweet. Yeah, I was like, well, I just talked. Like,
straight for the big leagues.
I Googled, like, talent agencies in Los Angeles. And but yeah, the lady on the phone, she was really sweet. She was like, unfortunately, we have to ask you to be represented by us. And then I looked at their roster and I was like, oh yeah, yeah. It makes sense. No, like, but yeah,
so ask me.
Yeah, I know, for real, like, well, I'm here. No, and my seventh grade English teacher was an actor, and she had shown me her demo reel, and I, like, became, like, in love with her because I was like, dude, like, how did you do it, you know? Because I didn't, you know, I don't have access to anybody in the business. And but yeah, and she told me her agency. I called them up after CAA because I remembered about her agency, and they said that they were having open calls, like, on Thursday, like, 2 weeks from then. And so I was like, hey, like, fucking why not? Like, I told my dad, let's go. And I lucked out and they ended up signing me, and just kind of slowly, but I didn't have any headshots. Like, I did some theater, but I didn't have any, like, proper, you know, like, training or anything like that. So I kind of just was, yeah, it took a little, like, took a, like, a year or so to kind of start going out on auditions, and it's learning how to audition because
when we first start off, we're all, like, super green.
Yeah.
They throw you in there. You don't know where to look, what to do. I mean, it's like throwing a deer just straight into headlights.
For real, yeah. Even down to, like, you're not, you can't even, like, shake hands or something. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's a whole protocol.
Like, they're like, get to your one, you're like,
what? What do you mean? What's that? So what now? Like, what do you want me to do? Yeah, it was a really awkward phase of me just, like, figuring out, like, and then the difference between, like, commercial auditions and theatrical and the different types of, you know, it was like, I took classes and I still take classes, and just slowly but surely things just started unraveling. And I look back at some, like, old self-tapes from, like, when I first started, when self-tapes weren't really a thing for me, and I cringe. I'm like, dude, that was so bad. I'm like, why did I think that was such a great choice? Like, but you know, you live and learn, and some things just aren't meant for you.
It's a learning process.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely.
You have to get through the pile of garbage to, like, get through the pile of, like, yo, I think this is actually kind of good. I feel like I got a grasp on my craft now. Now let me create something that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all there. I'm still there.
No, there's something.
I'll watch a take and I'm like, damn, I did that. That's the one they picked.
You never stop learning. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, no. No, I'm always like, I mean, I learned from all of you guys. Like anything I get the opportunity to join, I'm like learning from crew, the actors. Like, you know, there's just such an opportunity to learn and to grow, not only artistically, but on like a human level too. And getting to like meet so many different people from so many like different walks of life. I think that's like so cool and so fascinating. Like, how the hell did you get here? How, you know, like what's,
What about you, Herbert?
Yeah, I started in high school, bro. Like, I saw one of my friends out in Victorville, bro. Like, I saw her like on iCarly and like all these Nickelodeon shows as an extra, but I didn't know what that was. And in high school, I was just focused on hooping, on basketball, and school. And so one day I was watching iCarly and I was like, did I just see you on last night's episode? I was like, what were you doing? And she's like, oh, so like my mom takes me out there to be an extra. And like, you know, I do my homework and then like in between takes and like on lunch and, you know, we just shoot and it's cool. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So I told my mom, I was like, mom, I want to do that, blah, blah. She was like, eh, get out of here. She's like, I'm not taking you to school, to basketball practice, picking you up from that, taking you to games, to tournaments, and making still you going to store, LA, bro, hour and a half. So I was like, all right, cool. And then, so then I went to college. And then after that, you know, I soon realized like it wasn't for me. So, you know, I dipped. And then after that, I just started getting, you know, regular jobs, you know, working just, you know, construction jobs, warehouse jobs. You know, I worked at Tilly's at the mall, worked at the airport, you know, at the like air base camps and stuff for the military. And I was just trying to, you know, find myself and work my way through that, as we all do, you know, just try to find ourselves. And then one day, like on Snapchat, I don't know if you guys remember that, where you can put like different filters on your face, and I would just do like different accents and just like just mess around. And I sent that to my pops. I sent that to my dad, and he was like, he's like, I don't know, but you have something there. He's like, you ever tried it? Like, why don't you just try acting? Me and him were watching the movie Transformers, actually. And he was like, why don't you just try acting? I was like, oh, I didn't know you could try acting. I thought like you had to have somebody like in your family in the entertainment industry. He's like, just try. He's like, just open up your laptop and just look up acting classes. So I did, bro. I looked up like voiceover classes, because that's always been my dream, to voice a character for like Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar. So I was like, let me start that way. I did those classes, and then I just started taking traditional classes. I got involved with my friend Diamond, who's actually from Victorville as well, who's like done a bunch of big stuff in LA. He was like, bro, just come with me, just like shadow me as a director. You can be like a key grip, you can do, you know, work with the gaffers, you can do all that. So I learned behind the scenes while looking at the actors. So when it was my time to actually start auditioning and be on set, I was like, oh, I know what these people behind the camera are doing. So I'm conscious of everything. So that's why I started, bro. And it's a beautiful thing. Just, you know, keep learning every single day in class or auditions or watching movies, shows, whatever it is, learning from everybody here. And like el orgullo, you know, like the being proud to be Latino in this industry that's so few of us. It's a LA's big, but at the same time for our industry, it's small. You see the same people at auditions. You see the same people on set. Plus you cut it down being Latino, it's even smaller. So it's for me to be able to say, you know, I'm Mexican, Guatemalteco, like Gil. You know, being Mexican like you guys, it's like it's a privilege and it's an honor to have like the next generation come up to us, be like, yo, we look up to you. Like if you can do it, we know we can do it as well. You know,
that's badass, man. Yeah, that's really cool. That's funny that you were talking about you know, your friend was on iCarly, you wanted to do background. That's exactly how I got started too. I was like, mom, you know, I got this kid at the skate park, he's in movies and TV shows, he's always in the background. Yeah. I think I could do it too. So I went to Central Casting and I waited outside for like, I want to say like 4 hours. I got there at like 4 a.m and I waited till 8 a.m until they opened up. And then finally when they opened up and I waited in line, I got to the front and they were like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, the little kid agency's across the street. And I'm like, bro, I waited for 4 hours. Yeah, yeah. You know, my mom was mad in the car ride home, bro. Yeah. She pulled out the chancla, bro. I was like, shit. But yeah, bro, it was one of those things where like, but you said it best. You guys all did. When you're a kid, when you're young, you don't really understand this concept of like, yo, how can I can be on the movies and big screen? There's no way. That's impossible. Eso es para los gringos, eso es para los güeritos, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro.
And something has shifted recently where I think we are seeing a lot more compared to how it used to be, diversity, inclusivity. And that's been badass, man. I've seen you guys star in some, you know, some pretty awesome projects. You just did the Mayans.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, the Mayans, that's like a spinoff from Sons of Anarchy, I grew up watching Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. That's one of my favorite shows. And I always found the Mayans like as some of the most fascinating characters on that show. So now you got to star in that. How was that, bro?
Bro, that was a blessing, bro. I was trying to get on that show for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And
did you need your motorcycle license?
No, right.
I auditioned for it back in the day and they're like, must have your motorcycle license.
No. We did our biker club. We didn't have to on that last season. We didn't have to do that, but it was a blessing, bro. Like I said, I was trying to get on it for the past 3 years. And I got it in January of this year, 2023. But like November of 2022, you know, like we all do, we go through our rough patches. I was just kind of like, not doubting myself, but at the same time, I was like, damn, is this for me? Like, I don't know. Like the opportunities that I want are coming in, like how you know, I think they should be coming in. Yeah. So one day, bro, like I'm really big on faith and spirituality. So one day I just sat down and I was like, man, just give me a sign that this is for me, that I'm going through the right direction. And like, I promise I'll never give up. So my homie Diamond, who I started with up there, he was like, yo, bro, I'm going to be in LA. Like, I want you on set, you know, to be shooting something for me. I was like, all right, cool. So I start shaking everybody's hand and I see this little kid and like in the corner of my eye talking to his dad. He's like, yo, that's the guy from blah, blah. I'm like, oh shoot. So then we started shooting everything we get done. And he comes up to me. He's like, yo, me and my dad love On My Block. Mm-hmm. He was like, we love 19th Street. He's like, can I get a picture and an autograph? And I was like, I started messing around with them. I was like, yo, bro, you got to pay me $100 first. I was like, yeah, you know? So I took the picture with them and then I went out and then I was like, thank you. This is for me. Like, I'm never giving up. Kept putting the work on November, December. Then January, I got the audition for Mayans. It felt right when I sent it off. And then 2 days later, like my agent FaceTimed me. She's like, yo, you booked it. And I was like, thank you. You know? So I originally was only supposed to be there for an episode. They ended up bringing me back for 4 episodes. So it was a blessing.
Bro, congrats, man. That's huge, you, bro. That's Kurt Sutter, right?
Yeah, Kurt Sutter.
And he did Southpaw. He did
James.
Yeah, I mean, Kurt's the man, dude. Yeah, bro. Did you get to work with JD Pardo?
Yeah, we did. Badass, yeah. And we saw Emilio on set too.
Oh, you saw Emilio Chivo? Let's go. Was he with Juanita?
Did he have Juanita? No. He wasn't doing any scenes, obviously, but he was behind the scenes and, you know, we got to chop it up a little bit. Yeah.
So. That's badass, dude.
Yeah, bro.
The lead of that show, I think JD Pardo, right? JD Pardo.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's got an interesting story as well. I mean, I remember one of the first things that I ever saw him in was, I think he was in Twilight. He was in the part two of the Breaking Dawn, right?
Yeah.
And he was like
a movie with Jennifer Lawrence as well.
Yeah. But I remember listening to that guy's interviews and he was saying, he was like, same thing. He's like, man, just give me a sign. Yeah. And then he got that. And then his career, you know, kicked off.
And same thing like us, bro. He was coming from Panorama City.
Oh, from like the valley?
From the valley, yeah, bro. And then I think Elgin James told him, was like, you know what? Like, I have you for another role. Like, just come back in a couple hours. He's like, bro, I live an hour and a half away. I can't come back.
Yeah.
He was like, let me just get the sides. Let me just read in the parking lot. I'll come back in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. After 45 minutes, he booked it.
Was that for Mayans?
For Mayans, yeah.
Damn. That's sick.
Yeah.
That dude's cool, man. He's like the Mexican Charlie Hunnam. It's the perfect, like, you know what I'm saying? Perfect transition there. Yep. Now, what about you, Z? You got At the Gates, right? I mean, I saw that. How was that, dude? How was shooting that? I know that story is really personal and, you know, it was something you could connect with easily, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was cool, bro. It was like my first movie. Mm. I always see myself as a leading man. So I was working at Amazon at the time, dude. After On My Block, I needed money, bro. During the pandemic, I was dropping off packages and shit. And I would like call them and I would be like on FaceTime. I'd be in my uniform and stuff. And I was like, I have no money right now. Like shit got hard during the pandemic and whatnot. And I was still auditioning at the time. And I was like, I need a movie. I was like, by the end of this year, I'm gonna get a movie. I'm gonna be the lead in a movie watch. And then just slowly waiting and waiting, auditioning, getting close to stuff. And then At the Gates came along and I was like, cool, let's keep going. And then we got to the screen test and then me and the director, Augustus Bernstein, like connected like right away. And I was like, damn, this movie's like, this is like the kind of acting that I like. This is the kind of like movies that I like indie movies, you know what I'm saying? Very personal. And we shot that for like 2-3 weeks. And I was like, I couldn't even believe, and it was with like Noah Wiley and Miranda Otto. And like, I was like, whoa, like, it took me like a week to like figure out. I was like, damn, I'm the lead of this. I was like, fuck yeah, let's fucking go. I knew I was going to be something. Watch. And I was like, I'm going to be the fucking man here. And then it was one of the coolest sets ever. It was like my set, and then like having these actors like behind me. I didn't realize I did a movie till like afterwards. I was like, damn, I really did that.
It always hits you at the end, right?
I was like, damn.
But especially, that's good, because if you let it hit it during, it screws with your psychology. It exactly. With your ability to do things.
Exactly. And I don't even like feel like any pressure. I was like, why am I not nervous right now? Like, I remember, I was nervous that I wasn't nervous. Like, the day right before we went to go shoot. And I got nervous after we were done. I was like, I just left it all out there. I hope it was like, I hope it just captured my heart, like, for real. And it did. And like, the movie premiered at Deauville in France, and it won another award in France, and it's coming to the New York Latino Film Festival. It's like doing good, and it got like a 15-minute standing ovation. And I can't go right now because I don't got papers, so I'm not able to experience it. I'm not able to experience it. So they're like telling me, and I'm seeing the videos, and like people are like crying, and they're like asking for me, and they're like, oh, he's in LA. I'm cooking chicken with my dad outside, like, like, you know. So like,
hey, we're celebrating over here, though, bro.
Yeah, and it's like a dream, right? And I'm like, I'm not experiencing it yet. So like, it's just like, you know, holding on, but it's gonna
and
blow
the
up.
After strike and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Bro, it's just like. I don't even know if we're supposed to be talking about it right now, but whatever. It'll be out by then. It'll be out.
You've suffered enough.
Who cares?
Come on.
Yeah, let me have
COVID
my moment, bro.
Writers,
so like,
come on.
Yeah, bro. It's like, you guys will be there at the premiere. It'll be a. It's a beautiful movie. Yeah, it's like a love letter to my mom, and like, yeah, I can't wait for everybody to watch it. It's super love. I love it.
I like what you said too. Like, you can't get like, you can't let yourself get too in the moment in the middle of it, or else it's gonna mess with you.
Yeah.
Like, same thing like when auditions, like when we all help each other with auditions, like you
can't think about the technical stuff.
Mm-hmm. Not even just
you gotta
that.
Let your boy or your whoever's reading with you, you gotta let them kind of be like, hey bro, don't look there, look here. And you're like, okay, cool. But you stay in the zone of the character, of the mindset.
Or you can't get too ahead of yourself, like, damn, this can change my life.
Oh,
like,
100%. Yeah.
Life, like the money or like the opportunities that can come. Because if you start thinking too far, you're not gonna be in the moment.
You know what's funny, bro? I don't even look up, and maybe this is a bad thing. I tell my manager, I'm like, hey, tell me about the project. What kind of project is this similar to style-wise? And then I won't read who's directing it, and I won't read who's casting it. Right. If I read who's casting it, I get in my head. I'm like, oh shoot, she's casting it? I'm like,
I can do it this way.
I'm like, oh shoot, I don't wanna, you know, what if I embarrass myself in front of her? Like, I know what, my last four auditions with her were really great. Now this one's gotta be great. And then you start to get in your head.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than an actor being inside of their head.
Yeah.
Sure. They're there to put on an external performance. And then once they go internal about not the character, but about themselves as the actor, then the story comes crashing down, dude. Yeah. So yeah, it's a very wise tip for aspiring actors. Always be on the outside. Yep. And if you're on the inside, be in the character's mind, not in your mind.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, how do I sound? How do I look? Yeah, this can change my life.
Yeah, because I guarantee you, they're not thinking of, the casting directors aren't thinking about that. They're just thinking about, you know, how
can you this kid act or not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just can you get the job done? And listen, and they're also, for aspiring actors, they're also there to root you on.
Exactly.
They're not there to judge you and slam you and be like, nah, he's not going to get it for this reason. I mean, they are kind of, but they need actors to put up a performance so then they can send it out to directors and it makes them look good.
Bro, you got to change your perspective on it. Yeah. Once you realize that you are the solution to their problem.
Exactly. Potentially.
When,
yeah.
Yeah. Potentially. Then
exactly.
Then that's when, you know,
and even if you don't get it, if they get 5 to 10 options of some decent quality performances, they send it out to the director. Yep. It's up to the director. Mm-hmm.
But
the director's going to be like, all right, thank you for giving me 10 awesome performances. He killed it. But we can only cast one. You know what I'm saying?
Of course,
but
yeah.
For the next audition, for the next project,
you have you in mind.
You're always in their mind, bro. Always in their mind. That happened to me. I kept getting brought in for Daniela and Amber, and they brought me in for a Disney musical. So I didn't get that, but I tested for it, and they kept bringing me in over and over again. And I owe those ladies my whole career, you know, because finally they brought me up for On My Block. And that was the audition that changed my life ultimately, really. But now that we're speaking on that, I want to ask you guys, I've spoken to about my audition process for that show. But how about for you guys? How was that? Like, what was the audition like? Like, were you guys all in the room together or chemistry, is any of that stuff? Or like,
did I see you? No, huh? No, I think we saw each other.
I don't know if I know.
Like, did you see other like guys who were going out for your own?
Yeah, but I don't really talk to them. I'm just like, hey, don't look at me, bro. Let me focus on this. Like, I'm like, and that was like my first, like, I had auditioned for it like 2 years prior, like for season 1. I had went in for season 2 and Ruby. And I was like, but it was like my first audition.
Oh, wow.
Or like my second one. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. I was still very green. I was just like, I just wasn't ready at the time. And like, I was just not the time for me at the time. And then it came back full circle, and I auditioned for Sapo, and I knew Eric was on the team already. You know, shout out Eric Gutierrez, my acting coach. He had been my acting coach for like 2 years at the time, and he would leave for a while to go shoot the show. And then, you know, season three comes along, and I was watching the show. I was like, the show's good. And then, yeah, that was like a big audition for me. I was like, I'm gonna get this time. I like came with like a chip on my shoulder. I was like, I'm gonna get it this time. And then I went in, and Eric at the end was like, that's a guy, and just gave me one final push, and I got the role. And I was like, I remember when I first got on set, I was like, what? I remember I got the phone call. I was like, I got it. I was like, yeah, here we go. I was hyped, bro. I was like, heck yeah. Because it's a big show, bro. And it's like legendary. Like a lot of kids see themselves in that show. I was like, this is sick, bro. And then meeting everybody else. Like, you left a big impression on me like the first day I met you. Like heavy. I was like, I wanted to, you know, a lot of times like lead actors or like actors are like in a bigger position can just like kind of see the other actors as like below them, and like you coming up to me and shaking my hand and like being very respectful and like making me feel welcomed, like, was like the best set. And that lets us like have room to like play and like, you know, be there. Like, I remember you sat next to me, you were eating your food, that, you know, that little picture of us, like
photo of us eating food. Yeah,
you came and sat next to me, and you're like, you asked me, you're like, how are you doing that? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're doing so much, you don't even have any lines. I was like, and in my mind, I was like, why is the lead actor asking me? And I was like, this dude's like hungry. He like wants it so bad. He's still like learning from everybody. I was like watching behind the monitors. You're still watching all the like scenes going on. That's like very inspiring, you know, because most actors don't do that. And they don't want to learn from everybody else. You know, you got to be a student of the game, constantly learning from everybody.
Exactly, man. And there's always like space to learn from everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I steal some things from other actors. I'll make it my own. Like, I'll add my own flavor on there. But every actor has such a unique style. Like, you do so much without even having to say anything. Mm-hmm. The camera just gravitates towards you. And like, you sort of like have this presence, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, those are some of the most fascinating actors to watch. Because mm-hmm. it's like, yo, he didn't even say anything. And I'm just staring at him. Like, well, that scene where, this was totally improvised, I think, but when you were inside of Dwayne's diner, and then my dad on the show, he's telling you to get the hell out or something. And then you grab the candy and you're just like, you just drop it, right? Like, bro, was that improvised? That wasn't in the script at all. And I was like, damn, this guy's, he's sharp and he's quick, bro.
I wish I would have thrown the whole thing. I just didn't know if we were going to get in trouble or not. But I remember I was like, I threw a little bit of candy.
But the subtleness was like, it even spoke louder. Because if you would have thrown it everywhere, it would have been like,
for sure,
you know what I mean? Like Telemundo, you know? But that was like so subtle. And it was like a big F you without like having to say it. That was badass, man. Really bad.
Yeah, bro, just really appreciate it. It taught me a lot, bro, day one. Like, I like learning how people are on set and off set. Like, it shows how you are also a leader of the set, you know. But yeah, good on you, bro. You're done.
What about you, Gilberto? How was the audition process for On My Block? I mean, being the leader of the 19th Street, I mean, that's a pretty epic role. And I want to touch on some other points with that role, but how was it getting, you know, the audition and the whole audition process?
I was so excited when the email came in, because I was like such a fan of the show. I was like, oh dude, what? Like, I've never even gone in for the show before. And I got brought in for Sapo, but they had like the breakdown of the other characters, and I saw Cuete, and I was like, oh, he kind of seems a little like, I don't know, there was just something about him that I was like, he seems like he'd be fun to play. And so I just remember, like, I think I put myself like on tape in my home just to like kind of see what I would look like before I went in and stuff. And I went in, I remember I had a Taco Bell commercial audition after the On My Block audition. It was like, it was probably as big as this, the waiting room. And they brought me in, and my hair was like super long because I was working on something else. And I did like the whole like Sapo sides and everything. And then in the room, the girls that were running the session were like, would you read for Cuete? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. And then they're like, well, if you want, you can just put yourself on tape and just send it to us by tomorrow. And I was like, I can do it right now if you want. And they're like, well, we'll print out some sides for you, but we need it in English and Spanish. And I was like, no, I got you. You're give me like 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. But I don't know where that confidence came from. I was like, dang, bro. Like, yeah. But it was just one of those things where like, I don't know. He just seemed like so fun and so like a completely different than explosive. Who I am. Like, yeah, just like I'm like nowhere near that individual. But I just thought it would be, it's just fun. Let me just have fun with him. And I remember just thinking of like things before I, like the night before, like of things that I feel would be more in line with his character versus the one that they brought me in for. And so, yeah, and I went in and I just played around with them and I don't even really remember much. I just remember leaving the room and the girl that I think was an associate, she was just like, good job. And I was like, oh, you think so? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah. And then about a week later, I got an email saying that if I was willing to shave my head, that they would send me an offer.
I was going to say, wait, so you weren't bald when you did the audition?
No, I was working on the show Never Have I Ever. And so like my hair was like super long. Wow, okay. Yeah. And then, and I was like, I told my agent, I was like, yes, but like, will the scheduling work out?
Yeah.
And, because I was still working on that show. And so like, it looked out that the day I wrapped Never Have I Ever, the next day was my first day. And that's just like it's just how scheduling worked out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then
which is good because sometimes, you know, people don't know this, but sometimes you're working on a show and you book another show, but because of your availability isn't like, you just don't have it.
Yeah.
You can't do the other show.
Yeah.
You got to go with somebody else. And it's the most heartbreaking thing ever.
You're like, no.
Because you're like, no. It's like watching the person you love just go with somebody else. You're just like, damn, that should have been me.
Yeah. And so it was just, I don't know. And then I remember I went into the trailer and Jessica was like, you can say no about shaving your head. And I was like, no, I'm going to shave my head.
Because I only met you with your head bust.
Yeah.
I didn't see you with your long hair. So when I saw him, I was like, damn, I'm kind of intimidated by this guy. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't know if this dude's going to like stab me or something.
And I'm all short too.
No, you're like, hey, what's up, dude? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. All
right. Yeah, and cool. I had known, I did like a commercial years ago with Julio. So it was kind of like that
badass.
So it was like I had known him, and then Ada,
who spooky played, season, by the way.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little
it
plug.
Is spooky season now.
Yeah.
No, it's a little spooky season. Next month, spooky season.
No, and Ada, who plays Cuchillo, she played my mom in a movie too. So oh, it was like, you know, it was like a pretty, I was like, oh, this feels chill. Like, you know, I feel, yeah. And then like piggybacking what you said, like you were so great that first day, like very, you just were very welcoming and very just, I don't know, just really kind. And I was just like, wow, like this is such a chill set. Like everyone is really sweet.
Well, I got to say, I mean, the chemistry among the three of you guys was like, you could read it on screen. It was like you guys have been rolling deep together for months. And was that the first time you guys all met, being there on set?
Yeah, because
you guys had a camaraderie like of true brotherhood, and it was nice. That reads on screen so well. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure everybody knows this by now, but like Jason, Brett, and Sierra, they all lived together during the shooting of the show, and they say it in interviews. But I think that really took a major impact on screen. Because you can't fake certain things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get actors and you put them up and you give them a show and they just can't stand each other. Yeah. And they hate each other's guts. And because they have that hate for one another in person, it kind of translates onto the screen, because then they're not gifting their scene partner. Yeah. They could do certain things and they don't do it for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. I remember I had a scene where, I forgot what project it was, but it was a scene where I'm on the phone and I have to acknowledge it to somebody. And I'm saying something, and as I say that line, like, they didn't even acknowledge me. And it's like, yo, we could have had a little moment there. You know what I'm saying? We could have had a little something there. Mm-hmm. But you know, you work with what you get and you make the best of it. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
That was a fun set for you guys, but have you guys ever been on a set that was just like horrendous? Where you guys are just like, yo, what is going on here? And we don't have to get into specifics of which one it was, but what's the craziest thing that like the most like WTF moment you've seen on a movie set? I remember one time I had a chemistry read and I had a, you know, I won't say the project and I won't say their name. Big star. They were producing their own project. No, I can't. Just because my friend was also producing that project. But anyway, we're doing a chemistry read via Zoom. And they're getting their nails done. Getting their nails done, taking a bite out of sandwich, drinking their apple juice, whatever they're doing, right? And I'm just like in disbelief. Here I am coming off the show, here for a chemistry read. I'm professional, hungry, ready to bring this to life. It was a fun scene too, right? So I understand that I didn't have to have like this sense of like Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, but to be getting your nails done, eating a sandwich, yeah, like all show this some stuff. Respect. Like, come on, yeah, man. And they already had the job. So you know what I'm saying? They were safe. And I didn't get it. And it came out, it tanked. But I was so happy. I was like, thank God I didn't get that project.
But
man,
that's the thing.
And not even because I didn't, not even because it tanked, but because, bro, I don't want to be on a set where I'm constantly feeling not wanted there, where I'm constantly feeling like I'm a nuisance, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I want to be working around people who are going to inspire me,
for sure,
who I can learn from, and who I can have a good time with, bro. Being on a movie set, you're there for like 12 hours, 14 hour days. Yeah, it's like, you don't want to chill with people who are just like these egomaniacs, hide in their trailers all day, don't talk to anybody. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. But what about you, man? Any horror stories that you can talk about without dropping names?
Yeah, I think the only one for me is just, but what I was going to say is like the important thing is to learn from it. Yeah. Like learn how not to be,
yeah,
when you see those type of people, and then learn how you would want to be when you see those type of people that, you know, like how we're all saying, like how you came up to us, you know, humble, super genuine, and learn from that. So when you're like, damn, when I get to that level, that's how I'm going to be with somebody who I don't even know. And that's how it just that's how it should be in just regular life. Yeah. If you're at the grocery store, you don't got to be an asshole to anybody, 100%. Bro. Just be a good, kind human 100%. Being, and that good karma is going to come back to you. 100%. But for me, I think the only time was like when we were shooting, I forgot what project it was, but the guy didn't know his lines. So he asked for a teleprompter. So if like me or you were shooting a scene, they it had like the lines in the back of the other actress.
No mind. See, bro, come on,
yeah,
dude.
And that was like the only thing. Like everybody on set was just dreading to be, because it was like a 3-day shoot. It was a short project, and everybody was just dreading that. Because on top of that, on top of him not knowing his lines, he was just a dick to everybody. I'm like, bro, at least learn your lines, yeah, bro. You know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that's the only like horror story, I guess you can say, that happened to me.
That blows my mind though, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, we're actors. Our whole job, at the very minimum, memorize your lines, show up to set on time, and deliver your lines.
Prepared.
That's it, right? Like very minimum. Yeah. Obviously, there's so much work if you want to be a great actor, or even a good actor. That's like
the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's bare minimum.
Yeah.
When you can't memorize your lines, bro, that's disrespect, not just to the crew, not to the director, your co-stars, that's disrespect to yourself.
Yeah.
That's disrespect to your childhood, who was the dreamer, who was like, damn, when I do that, when I'm on set, I'm going to crush it. That's disrespect to your past self, bro. I never want to be like that. You guys were never like that on the show. You guys were always professional, always having a good time. And always when it was like, when we were about to shoot, you guys were always in the zone, bro. And that's what I really admire about you guys. You guys were like this young generation of actors who were serious about the craft, but also just such a joy to be around. Sometimes we're in this industry, and not even just the young people, but like I've been around some older cats who've been in this game for a while, and they're just a headache, dude. They're a nightmare to be around. And it's just like, why are you still doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you still doing this? You're bringing everybody down. It's like a hassle for you to do this. This is a privilege, bro. This job is like 1% of a privilege. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is a privilege. But it always blows my mind, dude.
Bro, not a lot of people can get the opportunities that, you know, we've all been blessed with in this room to be in. Like my audition for On My Block, I met this girl while we were waiting, and she was telling me, you know, she's like, man, I've been acting for like 12 years and I still don't have like my SAG card. And I was just like, whoa. And I had only at that time from On My Block, I had just started acting maybe like a year. And I had already got mine.
Yeah.
And I let her know, but I didn't know it was a big deal. Cause you know, I was green. I didn't know. And so yeah, man, it's just a blessing to be able to work and just to be able to be on set, do what you love, get paid to do what you love, be around people that, you know, you can learn from, either good or bad, and just keep it pushing, man, and on to the next one.
That's really good advice, man. I was going to ask you guys, if you guys were to give some advice to like, because there's a lot of young kids out there, especialmente siendo Latino, right? All these Latino kids, bro, who they see you guys on the screen and they're like, damn, I want to do what Z's doing. I want to do what Gilberto's doing. What advice would you guys give them? Like as far as obviously the technical stuff, which they can learn at the Actors Campus.
Hey. Yes.
But as far as like, you know, the mentality behind joining such a tough industry, Mm-hmm. An industry that doesn't care if you're healthy, happy, sick, sad, whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a ruthless industry. What advice would you give somebody to the screenwriters, directors, you know, the young generation?
I mean, to be honest, bro, like in the beginning, it's like very easy to like get lost in like the glamour of it all and like wanting fame and like wanting attention. And then like, honestly, just focus on the craft as much as possible. Like everything else will be bestowed upon you. And even like we talked about representation, like I know like being Latino, like we're like probably like 1% of the industry. But don't even like focus on that because it takes power away from you. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm Mexican. I'm proud to be Mexican. I'm proud of my nationality. I'm proud of where I'm from. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's like a difference between that. And like that allows me to like become anybody I want to be. I want to be on this wall. I will be on this wall one day. Hell yeah. But focus on the craft. And don't get lost in all the attention. Like, it's very easy to like feel
especially
like.
Especially nowadays, right? With social media.
Yeah.
The Instagram, the fucking views, this and that.
I fell to that like in the beginning, like with On My Block. It was like.
I was
like,
gonna say, you guys got some massive like eyeballs of how was that?
Dude, like, in the beginning.
Would you get like random people, exes and stuff coming out of the woodwork? like how was that?
It was just weird, bro. See, that was I like miss you. I was expecting like 10,000 followers probably like at most. In like 4 days, I got like 160,000.
I was gonna say, you jumped up, bro.
And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I had like 4 lines on the show, bro. What's up with that? And then like, and then kids were like coming to my store. They were driving off from like San Diego, like over here, like to meet me. And I'm out there cooking chicken with my dad, bro. And like, I'm like, you want a picture of me? I'm like walking down the street and they're like recognize me off like something so small. And I was like, but then like I said, no one's teaching me how to do this. I'm like learning, but slowly. And like, I'm like very green. I'm like, I was going live all the time. And I was like, I got lost in the dopamine of it all. And like, and then the pandemic hit and I was like, I have nothing to show you guys. Like, I don't like posting just to post. Like, it's just not really my thing. I rarely post. And you know, if you do, that's cool. But I like to like focus on my craft. And then like, I lost touch of like my craft for a while. I was just like, I'm here now and I'm going to keep leveling up. And it's very easy for me to like have my ego inflated coming from like where I come from, because like I have a chip on my shoulder all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like growing up super poor and like growing up the way I grew up. And like, I just had to learn that humility and like, remember how you were on set. Remember how they were, like, you know what I'm saying? So.
And also nobody taught us.
Nobody,
our parents didn't, you know what I'm saying? Our parents came over here from Mexico, from across the border, and they didn't make it to this point. No one teaches you, especially in school. They don't teach you how to manage success, how to manage attention, how to manage all of this stuff that gets thrown at you once you attain a level of success.
For sure.
So how did you overcome all that stuff? Just diving back into the craft?
I emailed Ed Harris and I was like, if you know who Ed Harris is, he's a G, you know what I'm saying? That's like an artist who's an actor. That guy's like legit. And I met him at the Sundance Labs like right before I got on my block. And I was like, I'm like, lost, like I deleted that Instagram too. I deleted it. I like made a new one and I was like, this is like fake fame. It's like not real. It's not gonna last right now until like I truly have my foundation. So I emailed him. I was like, I'm like, I want to sharpen my artistic knife again. Like, how do I do this? And like he called me. He's like, give me a time and I'll call you. I didn't even ask for that. I was just like, I just want some advice. And he called me and, you know, we were on the phone for like an hour and he was like telling me about his craft and how he does it and not get lost in all this. And he introduced me to an acting coach called Steve Tightsore, who absolutely changed my life at the Imagine Life Studio. And now I'm just about my craft again. Now when I know when it truly comes, when I truly blow up and I'm truly number one, I'm not going to be lost in all that shit. That doesn't matter. I'm like just focused up on my craft, not forgetting that. It's just easy to get lost in that. Super easy. And no one's teaching you that. It's hard, but I overcame that. It was like getting humbled, bro. I was at Amazon. Yeah. my coworkers would come up to my truck and they're like, you come out and on my block, huh? And I was like, yeah, fucking hell, dude. And like working, and then like having all that and like coming down here again, I was like, not that, you know, working Amazon's bad, but like I was just like, I thought I was gonna be in a different spot right now. And it wasn't like that. It was just like I had to like remember.
It's like that Michael B. Jordan story where he's talking about it and he's like, yeah, I did that one show, The Wire, and it was good while I was on that. And then afterwards, I was like, yo, am I going to have to get a job at Jack in the Box? Mm-hmm. And he went to go apply. And then his homie's like, hey, dog, come on. Like, keep focusing on your craft. Keep working towards your goals and your dreams. You know what I'm saying? And we always got to remember, too. And I struggle with this all the time. I'm like, it's a marathon. It's not just a sprint, man. We're in this game for, I mean, these guys on the wall, I don't know if the camera can see it, but you got like what? Denzel Washington, Leonardo DiCaprio, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, Johnny Depp, Ray Liotta, RIP, man. Like these guys are in their 40s when they were doing these projects. Exactly. These are the prime projects. These are when like the whole world really gets a grasp of these actors. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, these guys have established themselves as true artists, as true actors. And they grew up in a time before social media. They grew up in a time before the internet, before all that stuff. So it was easy for them to just focus on that. But nowadays we get thrown so many different things at us. Oh, you got this guy driving that car. Oh, this guy's doing that project. You're competing with the whole world. Mm-hmm. So how has it been managing that, Gilberto? Like being an actor, being in this industry, coming off the show, and then just seeing everything around you, kind of like, how did you manage all of that? Especially, and our show came out during a pandemic too. Dude.
Yeah.
So how was that?
My family keeps me pretty, pretty grounded and stuff. But I just, saying that, I'm like, well, this is so weird, dude. Like, and especially because I had a shaved head, so I had hair, and people would be like, but I think it was the eyebrows.
Did they try to like punk you out or anything, or like the cholo guys? Because that happened to me, bro. When I shaved my head, I was living in Hollywood, and on La Mirada Avenue, and I just remember coming home one day with my shaved head, and I had like these like real homies, bro. And they were like, "What's up, dog? Where you from? What's up, homie?" Well, and I didn't want to be like, "Oh no, dude, I'm just the lead in a Netflix series." I didn't want to say that either because my apartment would have gone robbed. So I was like, "Oh no, bro, it's just fucking hot outside, bro." You know what I mean? No, I was like, "It's just hot, bro. I just shaved my head." But they didn't buy it, bro.
Bro, that happened to me on set the first day.
Oh yeah,
because I had the tattoos and stuff, and then these
19th Street, yeah.
Yeah, these two dudes came up to me like, "What's up?" And I'm like, "What's up?" Yeah. But I forgot, like, I had the big old marijuana on my neck and the tattoo stuff. They're like, "Where are you from?" I'm like, Norwalk and Victor. they were like, "All right." And they looked at me like that. And then Eddie saw that. He was like, "Yo, bro, just come over here." They're like, you gotta be careful because where we're shooting at right now. Yeah, so he's just stick over here.
Where
like,
we're shooting at. And some of the homies that they would get on the show, they were dope.
Yeah.
But like other people would come by and they would see that. And like, I remember some dude tried to like steal a camera.
Oh,
from
damn.
One of the camera guys. He started ruckus, bro. He just started chaos. And the cops had to step in there. And he threw up his gang signs and this and that. And in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, we're just trying to shoot. Like, we've been shooting for 11 hours, bro. I just want to go home, see my dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. One time I went home and I went to Trader Joe's, but they told me to keep the tattoos on because I was gonna shoot immediately the next day. And so I went to Trader Joe's in Newberry because it was like an early day. And so like I had to go, I needed raspberries for my oatmeal. So I went and like Newberry Park is, you're not going to see people like, dressed like that. Yeah. And so everybody in the Trader Joe's was just staring at me and I was like, dang, why everyone's staring? And I was like, oh yeah.
The tattoos
and the shaved head is kind of, it's in your face. So But it was fun though.
Dude, that came out right as the pandemic
was about to
happen. That happened when everything got shut down, all the lock-ins. I don't want to say that we owe that credit to the success of the third season because everybody was kind of like forced to watch it. Mm-hmm. But that season got, for me personally, like in my own opinion, it got the most eyes. It got the most attention. Everybody was talking about that season. The ending.
Oh,
everything. Yeah. Like you guys, the 19th Street, it had such a huge impact. But how was the pandemic for you guys? Like just chilling, like everything was locked up. Or
that was rough, bro. That was rough.
It was rough. Like maybe 3 months after, I think, like the first couple months, I was like, oh,
first few days were like, okay,
dude,
right.
Dude,
oh, okay.
This is
Netflix
this is
and chill.
So
watch
fun.
Some scary movies.
Yeah, I
some
think
apocalypse
I,
movies.
Yeah, I think I got through like the whole. Game of Thrones and everything and that, but I mean I handled it well. I think like 3 months I was like, okay, this needs to get over and I need to audition or do some work and stuff, but yeah, just kind of adjusting from that, from now self-tapes And learning how to do self-tapes was like with the setup, my little ghetto setup that I used to have.
Yeah, like you say, it was cool for like the first couple weeks. You're like, okay, like we're just chilling out. But, you know, sooner or later, you're just like, man, I just want to get back to work, you know? And like he said, just like investing in more equipment, you know, getting like a ring light and soft boxes so your self-tapes can actually, you know, become better quality. I don't know, maybe get a better phone or, you know, whatever it is, or a camera, but be able to do all that and just invest in yourself in the pandemic. But for me, man, it was kind of rough because that's when, you know, my best friend passed away. You know, my grandma passed away during the pandemic. So when she passed away, you know, I kind of got a chip on my shoulder. Like, you know, I got an angel guiding me and protecting me wherever I go. So now every project I do, every audition I do, I'm like, you know, I know it's mine. You know, I know I'm in the right hand. So for me, it was tough, but you know, yeah, but like I said, you got a chip on your shoulder to keep pushing forward and not only make myself proud, my grandma proud, but my family proud, and you know, everybody else watching. So yeah.
And then I guess picking back up on like the momentum of work, because it was almost like you had to start from like zero to, you know, I was like, oh dang, like how do I navigate this now?
Yeah. Like so before, we weren't even self-taping that much. It was mostly like, you know, driving in person audition.
Self-tape is a completely new concept.
Oh yeah.
Everything is self-tape nowadays.
Yeah. I'd rather go in person though. To me.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a self-taper guy.
Okay.
When I'm in person, bro, I get nervous. I'm like, you only get one shot.
Bro, I love showing my personality. Do not let your chance to blow. The people in the room, man. Like, I feel like that's how you win, you know. I don't know.
Another tip,
you know, if people want to act, but that's like another tip. Like, that's your moment. Like, nobody else is rushing you. Like, don't care about
you're there face to face.
Don't care about the person that was there before you or the person that's after you. This is your time. If you have a one-liner, milk it. Yeah. You know, make it 5-10 minutes and just, you know, shoot the shit with the directors, producers, whoever's in the room, casting directors. But that's your time. Make it your moment. Because they're always looking at, okay, does this kid have what it takes? At the same time, like, how is he going to be working 12, 14, 16 hours on set? He's going to be a cool person or her. You know,
they're there to test your pressure.
They're there.
They'll be like, hey, we like that, but do it this way.
Can you do it on the spot?
And they're just gonna happen. Throwing stuff at you because they want to see how you do under pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like that. I do miss that part. I just, for me personally, whenever I would go into the room.
The drive sucked. I'm not going to lie to you. The drives would suck.
You get there. You're all drowsy from your car ride.
Santa Monica,
Santa Monica, 10 minute audition. I just remember, though, like being in there, I could never really. I was always either personality or the craft. I can never do both at the same time.
Mm.
Not until I got the job, right? But during the audition, I was always like, even for all my block, dude, I had my hoodie on. I was pacing back and forth, just like getting in the zone, you know, had my headphones in there. And I couldn't give too much personality. And sometimes that works, but sometimes they do want to see who you are. They want to see how you are. So for me, now that we get to self-tape and all that stuff, it's kind of like I'm in my own space, my own creative space.
Yeah.
I got my board reading lines. I'll put up a take. I watch it. Do I like it? No, I could be better. And that's kind of a curse, right? A curse and a blessing, because then you're like, you get the 70 takes later, and you're just like, and then you pick the first one.
Yeah.
You watch them all back, and you're like, the first one was the best one.
Like me and Gil, we help each other out, like on auditions for self tapes. And I always, like in the beginning, that's how it would be. Like I would be like, yo, my bad, bro. Like, let me just do one more. Or yeah, do the same thing. I'm like, bro, I'm here for you. Like, do as many as you want. But then I had to be like, nah, 3 takes and that's it. And I got to choose between those 3 takes, which I like, because I don't want to be stuck in my head. Yeah.
And I had an acting teacher recently be like, you direct yourself? Because I told her something. I was like, oh, I feel like I could have done this different. She was like, you direct yourself? And I was like, well, I mean, with self-tapes, you kind of do in a sense. Like, you watch back and you're like, I feel like that could have been a better moment. You know, like, there's just certain things that you look back and I don't know. Sometimes I do be thinking in my head, like, the character, like, you know, how, like, I don't know.
What would he do in this moment?
Yeah, like I'm just kind of like thinking as this individual and stuff like that. So I'm, you know, when I watch back, I'm like,
hey, weird question, but like, have you guys ever done an audition in the casting room and halfway through, you're just like, damn, I'm crushing it. And then, and then as soon as you get that thought, you're like, oh shit.
Next line.
And then. And then you blow. Have you guys, what's the weirdest thought you guys have gotten during an audition?
I probably have just been like, that was, why did I deliver that line like that? What was that? Or why did I pick that up? Or, you know, or I don't know. There's probably awkward things that I think I'm doing, but then it probably reads well on camera. But, you know, in the moment, you don't really know how that's going to look, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's mostly like after. I'm just like, oh, like it's same thing like when you get in an argument with somebody, like when the argument's over, you're like, damn it, I wish I would have I wish I would have told them that.
Oh, dude.
Same thing with an audition. Like after an audition for me is normally like, ah, oh, damn, I wish I could have done this a little bit better. I could have said this, I could have said
that. You'd be up all night. You're like, damn, I could have tweaked that.
Yeah, but you can't though. You just gotta let it go and on to the next one. Yeah.
That's why it's super important. Like you prep up and then you show up and you just throw it all at the wall.
And just forget it.
And you just kind of, it's almost like you kind of black out.
Yeah.
During the take.
Yeah.
That's when the best takes come out.
Yeah.
Cause it's always when you're like, when you're trying to like be robotic and then you watch and you're just like, yeah, that one was good. And then you're like, nah, that wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And it's always the ones where you're like, ah, I don't know. I don't remember that take. Let's watch it. And you're like, whoa, I did that. Mm-hmm. That came out. It was spontaneous. It was unpredictable. But what about for you, bro? I mean, how's the audition process? Do you like self-tapes or
I'd rather do self-tapes, bro. Cause like, that drive is crazy, bro. And then like
and the parking and all that stuff.
I don't know how many parking tickets I've gotten from getting over there, bro. And then like, I don't mind like seeing other actors and stuff, but like you only get like one like take at most or like two. And then like, you got to show your personality. But like, I'm like, I approach my acting different where like I have to be in a certain zone. Like you say, yeah. I don't like being there like, hi, everybody. Oh, I love my day today. You know what I'm saying?
Not like that.
I fucking hate that shit, bro. That's what actors make me cringe, bro, when they do that. I'm just like, I hate that. Just cringe. Yeah. For what? And then like, let's just, you know, we're here for business. Let's do it. Let's run it. Yeah. And you can't come off like an asshole either because, you know, you got to, it's like a balance. But not with my self-tapes, like, it's just me alone and working with my little brother or my friends just helping me out. And then I booked most of my projects off self-tapes. I think the only thing I booked was on my block in person. That's when the pandemic hit after. But it was just like, I like self-tapes. I get to choose what I want. And it's more private.
I think being authentic and genuine too is like, just be you. Like literally just be, like I remember the one of the guys from mine is Vincent Rocco Vargas. Like he brought his dad, he brought his dad to the audition room. And he didn't even know he wasn't supposed to, like, not that you couldn't do that, but you know, just go in there by yourself. But Elgin James, like he went in there with Elgin and Red with the director. And then after that, like he knew he killed it. So his dad, so Elgin James was looking from the top of the window, looking at Rocco going down with his dad. And then he was like, yo, dad, I think I got it. He was like, yeah, son. Yeah. And then his dad just started like going on top of him and, you know, cheering him on. And I guess Elgin saw that or Kurt Sutter saw that. And they were just like, oh, that's real. He was like, we need that. Like, and then they booked him off that, obviously off his read, but because they saw that moment between him and his dad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow,
thing,
bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did a job, a role on Mayans, and I remember when I auditioned for it, I had a homie, like, let me borrow, like, these, like, shorts because it said, like, he was a gangster. And so I bought hot Cheetos. I was like in house shoes, like in the waiting room eating my hot Cheetos, and this dude was just staring at me. I was like, do you want some? And it was like this whole, I don't know. I like in my mind, this is what I wanted the character to be in that moment and stuff. And so that was really big. But yeah, but they sometimes do look at what you are going to be like before and after. Mm-hmm. Like, I think somebody told me, your audition starts like the moment you park.
Walk in the room. Oh, okay.
Or you park, you know, when you get out. Cause
the moment you come into parameters, like when they can see you, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
No, like even in the parking lot, if they got a window and they can see you and you do some like messed up, you know what I mean, thing in the parking lot. Yeah. Oh, dude, I personally wouldn't hire the, you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
You're showing your real self.
Yeah.
You used to drive from here all the way.
Bro, I used to drive from Corona to LA since I was 15 and a half. I was taking classes.
Bro.
Oh, dude, it was bad. I tell everybody, I'm like, I moved to LA from Corona. And they're like, you don't have to move. I'm like, trust me, you don't know the drives.
The traffic.
2 hours there, 2 hours back. That's 4 hours. I mean, the audition, what, an hour, the whole process. I can get a part-time job with that. I can make some money with that. And that's exactly what I did. I moved to LA. I got a job at Wood Ranch. I got a job working Postmates. And then I was auditioning and going to class. And that was my life. That was it. I didn't have time to hang out. I didn't have time for a girlfriend. I didn't have time to party. And, you know, that might sound like a shitty life for some people. But for me, that was life. That's what I was willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is what I'm willing to put in. It's like playing poker. Like, I'm going all in, bro. I don't care if I walk away with nothing. I'm going all in because I want to win big. Mm-hmm. And not too many people in life can do that. Not too many people are like, oh, I need balance, this and that. It's like, you know what? You go balance your life. You go balance it your way. I'm going to balance it my way. And that's what I did, bro. And I don't regret moving out. I do regret staying out there for as long as I did, if I'm being completely honest. I love LA. LA is a second home for me, honestly. But I think two reasons. One, I didn't have to stay there for as long as I did. I wish I moved back to Corona faster, just because I was blowing money on rent. You know, I was telling you guys earlier, 3 G's on rent on this little studio apartment in Burbank, and it's nice, sure, and like I'm across the street from Warner Brothers, and it's dope. But do I really need this? Everything's self-tape. I just shot an LAPD movie in Kentucky. Do I need to be in LA? I just shot another movie in Budapest, and I'm like, dude, I don't need to be here. I'm just throwing money at the wall. This money could be going towards my family, my mom, a different, you know, something else, something better. A podcast, you know, we could get some better equipment
here. Wait, what was it like in Budapest? Was that your first time in Budapest?
Yeah. I got some mixed things to say, but I personally didn't have a great experience. Everybody on set was lovely. All the people that I met within the job were amazing. But man, I have some horrendous stories, bro. Like, man. You know, I'm an open book, bro. I'm open with my fans and my people. I remember we were cruising. It was the first day we got there. So much bad shit happened, bro. I'm like getting PTSD right now.
Oh man,
I get there right, and I'm hungry as heck. I'm with my dad. We go to this restaurant, and we're eating outside, bro. And I just remember seeing this guy in the corner of my eye, my peripheral. And he was like stumbling, right? Just like, I don't know what language they speak out there. Hungarian, right? Probably. I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
And I'm like, they speak European. They speak European. But anyway, this guy was like slurring his words. And then he sees me. My dad's wearing a USA jersey. He's a big soccer fan. Right. He had a Brazil jersey. He had a USA and Ecuador, Mexico. I think he even, I'll get to that story where he tries to buy a Hungarian jersey. But anyway, this guy's in the peripheral and he's stumbling, slurring his words. He's like, fucking Americans, da, 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 da. And he's like running towards me, bro. I feel him like on some Get Out shit. He's like running, bro. And I feel him and he swings on me. Damn. And I duck and I get up and I push him away. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, fuck you, America, fuck you.
Oh.
I'm like, well, first of all, like, I'm Mexican American. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how you know that I'm American. Like, I thought I looked Latino, but I guess not. And nobody in the restaurant did nothing. Not the waiters, not the manager, they had security. Security looked my way and just looked away, bro. I was about to square up with this man, bro. I just got there. I'm about to shoot a movie. I'm 20, 22 at the time. And I was like, bro, I'm going to end up in jail tonight. Yeah. My dad has to step up and break it up. And I'm like, bro, my adrenaline just kicked in. I just blacked out. I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, bro, survive or
a little spooky. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, a little spooky came out, right? Bro, and it was one of those things where I was just in disbelief. And that was strike one for me, right? And then I was like, you know what? People are shitty everywhere. There's shitty people everywhere. So let me just, you know, explore more with my dad. So the next day we go to get him a jersey. Cause like I said, he loves soccer. He loves getting jerseys from every country that he used to travel so much. I mean, my dad used to be the man back in the day, right? I mean, he still is, right? But back in the day, he was loco. He would travel everywhere and he would get jerseys from every country that he'd visit. So we go to this spot and he's trying to get a Hungary jersey, right? From the country. And the guy looks him up and down. He's like, so are you Mexican? My dad's like, yeah. He's like, well, you can't come in here.
Damn.
And my dad was like, why? He's like, you cannot afford anything in here, man. And my dad was like, how much is that jersey? And the guy's like, too much for you.
Bro, buy your whole store.
And my dad was like, how much is it? He's like, 120 American. My dad was like, I was going to buy that jersey, but because you're such a fucking dickhead, man, I'm not going to buy anything off of you. And we just bounced. And then I had to break it. I was like, hey, papa, like, chill out. You know, like, first I almost fell. Then my dad almost fell. I was like, hey, calmadito. Yeah. We're both going to end up in jail, bro.
I'm not going to be able to shoot this movie. Pops, hold up.
How was the movie, though?
I mean, such a magical experience. Yeah. I mean, you know, man. I mean, working on a lot of sets, people are so passionate about their vision. And it's an experience. It's a collaborative experience. And I had a blast on the movie.
What movie was it?
It was for Knights of the Zodiac.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
In Burbank.
I had a great time on the movie, man. Working with, you know, legends. Famke Johnson, Sean Bean, McKenyu from One Piece right now. Shout out to McKenyu. He plays Zoro. And Madison Eisman, Mark DeCascos, Sean, who's the other guy? Nick Stahl. So many legends that I grew up watching, right? Sean Bean, Game of Thrones, Famke, X-Men. So it was a surreal experience, bro.
You look dope, bro. The shaved head with yeah, you just look cool. Little earring. I was like, cool. It was like, it was just completely different. You get to show like,
bro. They tried to shave my head as soon as I got there. Uh-huh. The director was like, "Oh, I got this, you know, cool vision for your haircut and this and that." And Tomek is dope. He's my boy. Great director. He produced The Witcher and all that. So he's a legend too. But when I saw what he was trying to do to my head, I was like, "No mames, cabrón."
He's like, "Not again. Not again.
I ain't shaving my head like that. You're gonna take my hairline back, and it's gonna be bald." I was like, "Hey, Tomek." I was like, "You know, I just shaved my head for the last 4 years on the show. Called on my block. You probably haven't seen it, but I was like, dude, do you mind if I keep my hair?" And he was like, he looks at me, he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I trust you." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, man. Those are the directors you want to work with."
For sure.
Again, those are the people, the creatives. Yup. Those are the people you want to work with, bro. But yeah. All right, guys. So, you know, it's not sudden news. We're in a strike right now. We're in an actor strike. We've been in it now for, I think, about 90 days. How has that been? What are your thoughts on it? And when do you think it'll be over? Because I'm trying to get back on set, man. I'm trying to do the On My Block musical with you guys.
No, for sure. I mean, I just did a short film shot at my store. And we got some good money for that. And shout out to Scotty. It was cool to shoot something at my store. I was like, I want to stay warm right now because, like, being in classes is cool. And, like, you know, but, like, I want to be on set, too. But, like, yeah, man, it's been crazy. It's like another pandemic. It's kind of wild.
It's been, this decade has thrown so much at us being in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. COVID, then the mask mandate, all this stuff. Like, I remember doing rehearsals and I had like a kissing scene and I had to put my mask on for the kissing scene and we had to like pretend to kiss. What? And then once we were hitting rolling, then we could take it off. And it was just these little things, you know, it's not like it was life or death for me as far as like, oh, I don't want to act anymore. But it was like, yo, it doesn't make a difference. We're going to kiss in about 2 seconds either way. Like, let's, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe she just didn't want to kiss me.
Yeah. She's like, okay, keep my mask on.
She's like, no, keep that fool's mask on. Yeah, get the Listerine too.
Get a Diego stunt double for this one. Huh?
Bro, I've done that before.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like with an actress I was kissing. It was like with this actor. I was like, hey, I told the director, hey, bro, I was like, this fool's breath stinks, bro. I was like, should you get some Listerine, bro?
Yeah.
So the director comes, he's like, hey, anyone want some Listerine? And the actor's like, nah, man, I'm good. And I was in my head, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, fuck, bro. I'm like, just take the Listerine, bro.
Yeah, just take it.
But yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on the strike, bro? Like right now, like everything that's going on, the studios, the actors, SAG, with the AI. I know they're trying to like scan people and use their likeness for the rest of their life, essentially. And a lot of people don't know this.
Right.
A lot of people are like, oh, fucking actors. They're just complaining about everything all over again. And it's like, no, you don't get it. Some people make a living off background work.
Yeah.
Some people go and do background work to pay for their bills, to put food on the table, bro.
It's not just actors, bro. Makeup artists, like makeup, like everybody behind the scenes. It's not just actors, like it's affecting everybody.
100%.
Yeah, man.
So what are your thoughts on AI trying to take over, you know what I'm saying? Like some of these jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard a story about some girl who was, she did like a background thing, right? And before she knew it, she started seeing herself in video games without her permission. They were using her voice. They were using her face. They were using everything. She was a main character on a big video game. And it's like, yo, you didn't pay her.
Yeah, bro.
You can't do that. That's messed up.
I had a breakdown like that. I didn't do it, but I had a breakdown in like that where in the breakdown it said like specifically that like we're going to – like obviously we'll pay you for the day or for however long the shoot was, but you know we have the right to your name, likeness for the entire universe or whatever like the legal terms are. And I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. But it's happening, you know? And it's just like, you got to – it's scary. It's scary.
So you think what SAG is fighting for is good? I think it's fucking great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, what they're fighting for is like, yo, come on, man. Yeah. We ain't asking for 50%. We're just asking for some small things. So like,
bro. Just like crumbs. You know what I'm saying?
Until we're A-list, like right now, it's like rough, bro, making money all the time. Like it's not as easy. People like see like the attention and the little bit of the fame or whatever, but like it's not like as easy as it looks. We still need money. We're not getting paid bank.
Yeah, not everybody. Unless you're 1%. Like Brad Pitt, you know?
Until we're there, not right now. We're like suffering heavy. We're
working our way.
And you guys ever heard about James Dean coming back in a movie, in a soldiers movie? You heard about that?
No way. What? No, I haven't. No. After his three movies that he did?
Like not that long ago, I don't remember when, but they were like the director's like, who could play this part that could like bring this like part to life? And
they're like James Dean, and they were gonna like scan his face and put him on the like movie. And I was like, bro, that dude's been dead like 100 years, bro. Why you guys gonna let him rest, bro? Like, that dude was a legend in his time. That's weird. Like, why?
He can't be doing that without his permission. I mean, he's a dead man.
I think one of his family members approved it. His like last living family member for some money, but. Yeah, I don't know if they ever did it, but
I don't know if this rumors is really gonna happen, but I heard that what they're trying to do is like create platforms where like scan all the actors' faces and be like, okay, I want Diego Tinoco in an action movie in a forest somewhere in like I don't know, Colombia or some Thailand, and make like with ChatGPT and AI and make a movie around that with your face and like everybody else and actually have that, you know. I don't know if it's true or if it's like a rumor, but I'm like, that's crazy where technology is going.
It's wild, bro. Yeah. I can't remember if it was Instagram or TikTok the other day, but I was just scrolling, right? And the caption was new Drake song. So I gave it a listen. And I was like, damn, this is fire, yo. Yeah. And then at the end, the guy pops up. He's like, yo, that wasn't even Drake. That was AI. You just got, you know, you got pranked. And I was like, no mames, bro. Come on. Yeah. Like, if they can do that right now with that, imagine what they're gonna do in the next 10 years. Imagine,
it takes away from the artistry.
I don't even know if I've been telling my friends this. I'm like, dude, I don't even know if this career will be around in 10 years. Mm. For musicians, for actors, you know what I'm saying? Like the studio heads, like if I were to put myself in like their shoes and be like, if they really, I don't know how they think, right? Let me not step over the line and say something that isn't true. But if I was this big giant villain studio head guy, I would be like, how can I avoid the cost? How can I get my product as fast as possible? I would do AI actors. I would do AI music. I would do AI all this stuff. AI performers, you know, they can tour the world. They can be in Atlanta one day and then Dubai the next day and then Florida one. You know what I'm saying? Like, or at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Like, So it's scary, bro.
It has
scary.
No soul though. You exactly. know what I'm saying? It's just kind of weird. It's just like,
I don't know how that would work with art.
You can't do it though. Yeah. It'll work for like people. It'll be like live video games. It's kind of like weird. It doesn't work, but.
But that goes to say too, like, I don't think you should, like, I mean, to each his own, but this is the way I think, like, you shouldn't just be focused on one thing for the rest of your life, because you never know. My thing is always just having different things that I love doing, not just for the money, but that interests me. Like, for example,
and
like,
you got a clothing brand too, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's badass.
Like that, or like investing in real estate, being acting, investing in real estate, creating other businesses that can generate income for you. Yeah. So just in case one thing dies down, you know you have multiple backups, not just for you, but for your family. And you know, eventually we all have kids as well. You know, so they can be good too. So it's always just about. And I find that it's a good thing that with a lot of actors that I have talked to, that most of them have different things going on, and they're not just always talking about acting. So they have different things going on, either traveling or businesses. Yeah. So they can pull from those experiences when they do go back to auditioning or on set, they can pull from those experiences.
We're human beings, bro.
Yeah.
We're actors. We portray life. So it's even better so that we do take up, you know, our time and put it in other areas. So we understand life as a whole and not just life for its glamour.
Exactly.
Because I feel like once you start getting those actors who are just, some of them are really good still, even with the glamour. But some of them, they just become so flat and so dull because they don't have any issues in life anymore. They don't have to overcome anything. They wake up, their $1 million mansion, they don't go and put themselves in scenarios where they have to test their ability still as a human.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I got into like jujitsu. That's why I got into boxing. I'm terrible at it, but I'm learning, bro, because I wanna be as human as fucking possible.
Yeah.
Because those are the roles that interest me the most. You know what I'm saying?
Man. Go fail. Go get your heart broken. Yeah. You know, do all that type of stuff.
Go live life. Go live life. It'll teach you so much about yourself and like what you're good at.
Yep.
That's why I started the podcast, bro. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, we got a strike. Okay. People were saying it's gonna last until February, and I was like, yo, stop.
Can't be still.
Come on,
can't
bro.
Be still for that long.
Come
bro.
On, bro. We already got our asses kicked during COVID. Come on, let us catch a break here. But I was like, you know what? Let me start a podcast. Let me start Sangre de Mia the merch. Let me start the actors campus and teach people, bro. Because I said it on the last podcast. It's like if I'm not busy, I'm chasing chaos.
Yeah, man.
I'm getting into situations that just I shouldn't be in. I'm risking my career.
Getting in your own head.
Getting
mentally.
In my own head. I'm getting in my own way. Yeah. And it's like, let me be of use. Let me be of service, bro. Let me serve.
Bring value.
Let me bring value to the people who supported me. Let me bring value to the world. Even if it's a minor value, bro. Even if it's 10 people, 100 people, it's better than me ending up like, you know what I'm saying, in a bar and you know, slamming Mexican candy shots. Yeah.
but that's the thing. Like, you never want to regret anything. Like, whatever you have, like, whatever idea you have in your mind, just go for it. Because you never know. It might work. It might not. And if it doesn't work out, but you like it, just keep pushing until it does work out. 100%. You know, just keep. But that's my thing. Like, I never want to live or die with regret. Like, I don't want to be like 95 because I want to live till I'm 95. I don't want to be on my death be like, damn, when I was like in my 20s, I wish I could have just went for it, but you know, I was scared, or I cared about what people thought. Like, you can't live your life that way on other people's opinions. Like, you just gotta do it.
I was gonna say, on top, I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Anytime I make a post or put something out there into the world, I'm always like, ah, shit, is this corny? Ah, is this lame? But then I think about it, I'm like, bro, these people aren't paying my bills.
Nah, bro.
I'm going to die 100%. One day. We're all going to die one day, right? Not to get on like a, you know, very like negative actor, you know, thespian, but it's like, yo, one day the lights will go out and people will be sad. But at the end of the day, they're going to go back to their own focus, their own lives. They ain't going to care about what you did.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, ah, oh, this guy started a clone. Ah, oh, this guy did that wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, that guy ran that restaurant. It's like, yo, forget you, man. I got my people. I got my team. I got my family. I got myself.
Yep.
I had a friend, he told me, he's like, bro, why are you doing a podcast? Why are you doing merch? Why are you doing this? I was like, hey, homie, you pay my bills. You take care of my mom. You take care of my family, bro. You take care of my kids. Like, you're not going to do it. So then why are you trying to give me shit? And more than that, why am I going to listen to you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to you. Do you, bro. I'm going to do me.
Exactly.
I'll do a podcast, some merch. I'll fucking wait tables, bro. I'll go back to waiting tables if that means taking care of my mom.
For
I'm
sure.
Not gonna let her get a job, bro. She raised me my whole life.
Yep.
She's nearly 60. I'm not gonna let her get a job, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just goes back to one of those things where it's like, I feel like the new generation today, it's like they just want it all. And by tomorrow morning, they just want it all. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing. It's, like, you talk about your homie. Like, that's why it's super important. Like, if you're young out there, or if you're older, if you're in our generation, like, you gotta surround yourself with the right people. Yeah. Like, we're all, you know, like-minded. Maybe not. You don't not just surround yourself with people that are doing the same thing, but that are like-minded, that are hungry, that are disciplined, that have good habits, that are going to push you towards the right direction. Like, if anybody of us are starting a new project, I know without a doubt we're all going to be like, fuck yeah, bro. Yeah. Hell yeah, I'm proud of you. Whatever I can do to help you, like, or I can promote or whatever, like, I got you. Like, those are the type of people that you need in your life to keep you going, but not to bring negativity.
Yeah.
Exactly, bro. You'll never meet a hater doing better than you, bro.
Oh, never, nah, dude.
Never. And, like, people don't really see, unless you're adding money to my pocket, don't add an opinion, Doug. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got nothing to help. Like,
that's good.
Seriously though, because like, I gotta help my parents out too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All my acting money goes straight to them.
Yeah.
Whatever you gotta do, don't care about anyone's opinion. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's easy to kind of get caught up in thinking, overthinking everything, yeah, which sometimes I do. But I try to just focus on me and like realizing that like I'm on my own personal path. Like, it doesn't matter when things happen for me; they're gonna happen when they need to happen. And I think just staying grounded, and like Herbert is always like, he talks to me and he's always just like, you know, just about gratitude and just like, you know, who cares about everything and about what everyone else thinks, just like focusing on yourself, focusing on what is better for you, because what's good for me isn't going to be good for you, you know what I mean?
That
and vice
tunnel
versa.
Vision, man, it'll change your life. Yeah, even if you just dial in for 6 months, cut out the BS, cut out the TikToks and all that stuff. It's like, it's crazy what 6 months could do to somebody.
Yeah, just going on a cleanse. Sometimes I'll just like delete my Instagram or TikTok and stuff to like, I'll keep YouTube because I like.
Yeah,
I
like, YouTube,
Yeah, like I'll be cooking and I'll just be like listening to something. Yeah. But yeah, just, you know, I think just focusing on yourself and
chasing the dream
and just like
enjoying the process.
Yeah,
too,
and
man.
Not being in competition with anybody, because it's like there's room at the table. There's a seat at the table for everybody, for everybody. So it's like, who cares, dude? Like, if someone's doing great, amazing. Like, bro, good for
el sol sale para todos.
Yeah. Always being excited for everybody.
El sol sale para todos. The sun rises for everybody. So
that's great.
There's no room for hate.
Damn. That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, now it's been like, how many years since All My Block wrapped?
It came out in 2018 and it wrapped up in 2021. So
how's it been for you those last like 4 years? Are they like a blur? Are they like,
you know? Dude, you know, man, like it's been an adventure, bro. I'm not going to lie. It's been an adventure. That show had a major impact on society. For you know, brown and black kids around the world, man, they saw themselves in our characters, right? Changed my life completely, in some parts for the better, in some parts for the worse. I wouldn't have it any other way, though. Every problem I have, it's a privilege to have. Now I just gotta learn and overcome them. It's like, you know, every level is different. Every level comes with its own BS. I will say that I think my first 4 years, it was kind of like college for me.
For sure.
It was sort of this kind of like we were talking about earlier, this illusion of like, you have the whole world just coming at you and you're always going to have it there and it's always going to take care of you and always it'll always be there for you. And then reality fucking kicks in. You get the pandemic. You get an actor strike. You can't go shoot that movie because of the strike. The studio cuts the movie. Boom, you lost the movie deal. You're not going to work for the next until February. And it's like, yo, what is going on right now? Like, this isn't supposed to happen, mm-hmm. right? There's always your plan and there's always the universe's plan. Mm-hmm. And the universe's plan will always fucking win. The key is to adjust, bro. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was nice, bro. It brought a lot of interesting things in my life. I met a lot of cool people like your guys' selves. And it's just a learning process, bro.
You know? How was the last day? Did it hit you that you were like, damn, I just did a whole show. I was a lead for like 4 years. And like,
yeah, the last day, yeah, it was sad, bro. I mean, it was on any set you do, you become a family. You learn, you laugh, you love each other, bro. It's all that stuff. And then the last day kicks in. You're like, I ain't going to see these people ever again. And we didn't even get a premiere, bro. We didn't even get a premiere for season 3 or 4.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy, bro.
So there was never that, how do you say, when you guys like end, but not really, there was never that.
Like that climactic ending, the climax?
No, yeah. Closure. Yeah. You know, closure. And yeah, bro, it was, I'm still fine. You know, after the show, I was lucky enough to like, I chilled out for a week and then I went to Budapest for like 3 months. Right. Then I came back, chilled out for a month and then went to New Mexico for a couple months and then Kentucky and then supposed to be in Europe now. But it's like, you know, the strike kicks in and like I said, the universe's plan always wins, bro. Yeah. But I think it happens for a reason. I think it's God saying, hey,
prepare,
homie. Yeah. You had 4 years to do something. You could have started a podcast. You could have started merch your first year and you didn't.
Nope.
So now it's going to take a little something else, something a little stronger for you to wake up.
Yep.
And that's when I woke up.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this.
It's all perspective, bro. It's all about how you look at the life. Like, yeah. It's all about how you look at the universe or whoever you believe in. But once you start taking on like those universal laws and that those signs, once you start living your life by signs, you're like, okay, what is this trying to teach me?
Yeah.
And then just go about your day like that.
Yeah. It's not a loss. It's a learning experience. Every L is a learning experience. It's not a loss. Yeah, that's what I'm learning, bro. Yeah. There's some days that are still dark though. You know what I mean?
You got all that fame, all that attention. Like it changed like from night to day kind of because the show dropped and then like your number started coming up, bro. And bro, then like,
it was wild. Yeah.
You went from the kid in Corona to that. Like
it was crazy, bro.
What was that like?
Honestly, it was one of those moments that it just feels like a dream. It's kind of like surreal. And, you know, I remember telling my brother, I was like, you know, at most we'll get a couple of thousand followers out of this. And then I'll get some cool demo reel and I'll send it out to directors. But then the show blew up. It was on the news. The IG was like 20,000, 40,000, 100,000, 200,000. I was like, what's going on right now? Now I got to be careful of like old things that my kid self did out there. So I deleted my Facebook. I deleted my Twitter.
Me too.
I was like, nah, bro. I ain't getting
old Twitter posts.
There's no way. I was like 12 too, putting up stupid memes. I was like, nah, bro. Yeah, bro, you know, exes come out of the woodworks. They all start, hey, Diego. I'm like, hey, you didn't mess with me in high school. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah,
damn, bro, that's cool, dude.
It's been cool. It's I entered my 20s in a really weird way.
For sure.
I entered my 20s and the show came out and then I entered my 20s and then that was my life. And there's some things that if I'm being honest, I don't know about. Like my homies, they'll put me in check. They'll be like, fool, don't talk about that subject because you don't know anything about it. You don't know what it's like to be in their 20s and try to go on dates and you know, have to work two jobs and do this. Well, the two jobs part, I did know, but there's just some social things that I personally can't relate to because I never got to experience that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mostly on like the dating stuff. I just, not to like get cocky, but like, I never had that problem, bro. Yeah. Like, for me, the problem was, hey, I don't want to, I need to focus on my work and find the right one. And I have now. And so now I get to just work and chill my lady. But, you know, dating is something else, man. It can take a toll on a man.
Yeah.
It's very, and yeah. I'll be the first one to say this, bro. It's fucking hard out there for young men, man, nowadays, especially. It's very lonely.
Yeah.
It's a very long you know, journey for men to find themselves. And until they get there, they think that somebody else is the answer. And it's not. The answer is not externally. It's internally, yep. Man. Find yourself. Find your people. Find those voices. And chase what you love, or what gives you a sense of purpose. And along that route, you'll find the right one. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It ain't going to be chasing this path or that path that you think you should be on. It's chasing the path that you know deep down inside. That's the one you should be on. And that's the one you chase. And that's when the right people come around you.
And it's not even chasing, bro. It's attracting.
Yeah, you attracting. Gotta, that's a perfect way. That. Exactly. Yeah.
You got to just be on your purpose, like as a man or a woman, be on your purpose, and the right one or the right opportunity is going to come your way. Because if you're like emotionally in vibration on your high frequency, everything's going to come to you easier.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it's a different time, I think, now with social media. I think everybody sees the nice cars, the nice houses, the big paydays. And I think a lot of young men out there, I think they get very like, there's so many different ways to internalize something, right? For some people, it might be motivation. Yep. Like if I see the big houses, the nice cars, all this, you know, the competition on the big movies, I'm like, hell yeah. I'm like, badass, homie. I'm like, now let me step my game up. Yep. But for others, it eats them alive. It'll eat them alive, bro. And they'll get in a negative mindset. And they're like, well, you know what? If I can't climb up, I'm going to drag everybody down with me. And it's like, nah, dude, you got to rechannel that energy. Yep. You got to channel it into fuel, into purpose, into motivation. Because that's the only thing that you got right now. That's the only thing that you can use right now. Obviously, if you don't like your the cards in your life, like something has to change. Yeah. Something you got to put the energy into something else that's going to advance it all. But for a lot of people, they see the external stuff and they're just like, fuck the world, man. Like they'll start like slamming everything and everyone, you know? And it's like,
yeah, but you don't see what that person went to go get that though.
Yeah, exactly, bro. And that ain't the way. And I try to tell all the younger people that follow me, it's like, I try to tell all the younger people, for anybody watching this, you know, focus on your mission in life. Focus on yourself, focus on creating your team, your people around you, and really, really just focusing on that. Cut out the BS. Do you think if a boxer, do you think if Canelo spent all day doing social media and you know, and playing like video games and caring about the world and what they thought about him, do you think he'd be who he is? Nah, bro. He's always in the gym. He's trained. He's dialed in. You know what I'm saying? But there's like a... there's like a certain focus that you need to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think like
there's a certain focus that is required. I mean, you look at the greats, you look at Kobe, you look at Michael Jordan, you look at Al Pacino, De Niro, you know, some of these UFC fighters. I mean, my boy Brian Ortega, dude, that guy's dialed in 24/7, bro. If it's not physically, it's mentally. He's always learning. He's always getting better. He's always studying. Martial arts and business too. That guy's smart, bro. That guy's put me on some knowledge where I'm just like, how the hell did I not know this before? Yeah. And it goes back to, you got to ask the right questions in life. You ask the right questions, you get the right answers.
I'm curious.
But if you don't have that curiosity, then you ain't gonna, it ain't gonna take you to that place that you know, that fantasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, wrapping it up, if there's one piece of advice to give to the younger generation, what would you guys say or give?
I mean, you kind of just hit on the nail right now, but honestly, if you feel like a loser, you're probably just in a messed up situation at the moment. You're probably not a loser. I hate losing, Doug, but I respect it. It's what's taught me the most in life. And, you know, even if you come from a dark past or any past you come from, like, just be proud of where you are and be proud of who you are and where you come from and keep moving forward. Focus on your craft. Focus on being a better person. You know, I'm going to be a great actor one day, but I also want to be a great person one day. And I'm going to be accomplishing that over time. So just keep your mind on that. Law of attraction is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Attract what you want.
How about you, Gilberto?
Yeah, humility. Just never forget where you come from. And staying focused. Learning to pick yourself back up. And just like having that internal dialogue with yourself. Like a positive internal dialogue. And just surrounding yourself with good people. Like, know how to like gauge the people that just aren't positive for you and aren't serving you anymore. And just working hard, focus, learn that sometimes some things will require a sacrifice, but that will all be worth it in the end.
I think for anybody who's young or like our age or even older who wants to get in the entertainment industry or just maneuver through life, I think for me the biggest thing has been gratitude, master your mind, and be impatiently patient. Meaning, don't just wait for opportunities to come for you. Like, create your own opportunities while you're still out there fighting to get the opportunities that you want. And just master your mind, bro. Because the thing, this brain that we have between our two ears is what's either ruining your life or pushing you forward. So either get around the right people, listen to the right things, read the right things, just be positive as much as you can and try to vibrate at a high frequency as much as you can. And gratitude, man. If you're at a place where, like you were saying, you don't have the car that you want, be grateful for that car, because there's somebody without legs in a wheelchair. There's somebody riding the bus. There's somebody taking the bike to work, but you have a car. If you don't like the place where you're at, be grateful you have a roof over your head. But just be grateful for the things that you want as if you already have them, and then just maneuver your life that way.
I heard this quote by Alex Ramosi. Been listening to the guy, reading his books. Really, really, really great guy, man. He's putting out so much knowledge out there for the world. He's got courses for free. He's got books for free on Spotify. He's a great guy, man. But in a time where there's so much going on, if you're starting off, just focus on that one thing. It doesn't take 20 or 30 different things to be great at to make you rich. It only takes one. You only need to be great at one thing, and it could change your entire life. And from there, then you can do whatever you want. Yeah. But I think nowadays so many people, they're like, oh, I want to do photography. Oh, I want to be a director. Oh, but also like, want to drive cars fast. And like, but it's like, dude, just slow down, pick one thing, try it out. See if you like it. If you don't like it, cool, scratch it. Now, you know, you don't like it. It's not just about figuring out what you do want to do with your life. It's about figuring out what you don't want to do. Try it out. And the only way by doing that is by trying things out. So I think that's really important for the younger generation who's getting overwhelmed with so much nowadays. It's like, yo, make a list and focus on it. 1 year could change your life. You got 12 things on your list, focus on one thing per month and just go down that list. You know, obviously for us, it's like acting, business, all this stuff. But for the whoever's watching, whether it's acting or whatever, dial in on that one thing. Because that one thing could change your life and that's all you need.
And you only have to be right once.
Yeah,
you
can try
a bunch of things, but 100 things might not work, but that 101st, that might be the one. And
exactly, bro.
You got it.
Yeah. All right, boys, where can we find you guys? Instagram projects, any of that stuff?
Instagram at @EzekielPacheco_. Same thing for everything else. At the Gates is coming to theaters soon. I can't wait for that to come out. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I'm going to take over.
You can find me on Instagram @Gberto. I have a couple cool things coming out. I don't know if we could talk about them. I get so nervous about having to talk about it.
You can say them, but you know what I'm saying?
I have a really cool movie coming out next year, and it's produced by some really cool people. And I'm super excited. It's something very different than I've ever done. So.
Yeah, you can find me at @HerbertMorales_ on Instagram and all social media platforms. And I'm coming out with the movie in the next month and a half. We're going to start shooting with some really cool producers, directors, actors, and business-wise as well. I got some pretty good stuff coming out too, so make sure you stay tuned.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. You know where to find me. But we spoke a lot about acting. We spoke a lot about the craft and the business side of it. Guys, if you're an aspiring actor out there in the world, please go to thediegotinoco.com/actorscampus, and you can literally learn everything about how to start your career as an actor from scratch, from anywhere in the world at whatever age. Highly encourage parents who want their child to break into acting to join, just because there's a lot of detrimental, disgusting people in this industry sometimes, a lot of great people. But I want you guys to be safe. This is the safest and clearest way that I've put out there and created for you guys. So join, check it out, and hope to see you guys on a movie set real soon with the four of us.
Hell yeah. Cheers. Thank you for having us, bro. Fucking legend.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Oh,
yeah. Take it back.
Ready? All right, before we wrap up, I got you guys some gifts.
Let's see it.
I got y'all some gifts. Open it in the car.
Dude, no, you're funny, bro. Oh my God.
Some sangre mía.
Look at that, bro. Look at the packaging, bro. This is beautiful, bro. Dude,
thank you, Diego. I know Gilberto already has some merch because, you know, we shot some interesting stuff together and some very cool shots. But yeah, I hope you guys like it. Winter's kicking in, so I'm keeping you guys cozy.
Fire. Look at this. Quality, yeah. Quality.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no. We're doing unboxing or what?
Can we open it? Is it the same one?
No. It's okay.
This is the same one?
Because this is the new merch. I don't want the fans to get jealous.
You guys got to wait.
I also want to say, too, before we wrap, bro.
Yeah.
It's inspiring what you're doing, that you're not just staying, you know, how the whole world is moving and our industry is moving. You're pivoting. And I think that's a big thing that people need to do, too. Don't just stay stagnant. Just pivot. Diego, we all have our own different things going on aside from acting, but you know, he got his clothing line, he's got a podcast, he's doing all these other things. So just pivot. Whenever something stays stagnant, just pivot.
Stay curious, pivot. Stay curious, yeah. Always learn. So,
it's admirable.
Yeah, dude.
Let's go play some Top Golf now.
Let's go. Thank you, Diego. Thank you, guys.